I don't think you're going to want to miss what I'm about to share with you today. I have a subject called, Why Are So Many Christians Angry and Depressed? I've never seen anything quite like I'm seeing now, because sometimes when you begin to pay attention to what is taking place, you see that the anger, the opinionation, the slander, the assaults are coming from people who are supposed to be Christian people. And many times, with the tone and the attitude which they have, they're actually breaking numerous new covenant principles and rules that were established by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And even some of the warnings of the Apostle Paul of roots of bitterness that will defile a person's spirit, and then it will defile many others as they pass on the tone, the attitude, and what they're saying and doing. So I want to cover that today and just some things that I began to see. I call it the American church confusion, and it's not probably in America, it's probably all over the world, to be honest with you, that there are some people that are no longer loyal to any church. A recent survey said that the average American has three different churches they attend and choose at any given time. There's only somewhere in the neighborhood, in a local church, of about 40% that are actually loyal to that particular congregation. Some people in the body of Christ are mistreating verbally pastors and ministers on the internet and on social media on a consistent basis. And these are supposed to be people who love Jesus and love God. And yet the Bible says, if you don't love your brother whom you've seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? And if you don't control and bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. See, people don't pay attention to these verses while they're mistreating verbally their pastors, ministers, and churches. There are people that I know for a fact that are absolute liars and slanderers, and they have no fear of standing before the Lord at the judgment because they don't pay attention to the verse, every idle word shall every person give an account of on that day. And for a Christian, it would be the bema of Christ. And for the sinners, it would be the great white throne judgment at the end of the tribulation. I'm sorry, at the end of the millennial reign. And some people seem to be happy when the worse things get. They are happy when things get bad. And when people begin to fall by the wayside, especially those that have been in leadership positions, they seem to be happy instead of sad. And many people are telling me, Perry, my spirit is just so troubled. It stays troubled on a consistent basis. So, Perry, what in the world is going on? And it reminds me, and I may bring this out later, I'm not sure, or in another message about in Lot's day, how that they were vexed with the conversation of the wicked. We'll talk about that perhaps in a moment. So here's what I want to say to you. Do you ever feel like a weight that is on you and there's no logical explanation to why you're feeling that weight or the heaviness that you're feeling? Do you feel restless? You wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep because you can't shut your mind down, and you're always thinking about what could be, what might be, or the bills are coming due or something of that nature. You're restless all the time. Are you under heavy anxiety? I was checking out the other day how many people are on four different types of anxiety medicines. And if you total up those four medicines, in just the United States alone, there are 30 to 40 million people that are on some form or type of an anxiety medicine. And yet the Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, and that through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, that's how we make our requests known to God. Now, I'm not against anxiety medicine. Person actually needs it, but I'm simply saying we have all these scriptures out there. The restlessness, he makes me lie down, he restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness, he makes me lie down in green pastures, all these things, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. So we got the weight, the restlessness, the anxiety. And as far as depression or oppression, it says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And if you take the word to depress something, because someone will say, I feel depressed, the actual word means to lie flat or to be pressed down on your back where you can't get up. And so depression, real depression, causes you to just feel like not getting out of bed. You want to put the covers over top of your head and stay in the bed, not get up. It makes you not want to talk to anybody. So depression and anxiety and restlessness and fear and all these things taking place. But the question is, why are Christians not in anxiety and depression and restless? Why are they so angry Oh my goodness, I have never seen, and I've been, now look, I've been preaching almost 47 years, and I've been alive June 23rd, this year of 2023, I will have been alive for a total of 64 years, or going on, I should say, my 64th year. But I've never seen anything like it on the level of people being mad and people getting angry. I dated a girl one time, and I would talk about people were mad. She says, dogs get mad, people get angry. She had a degree in teaching, so she corrected me on that. So people are mad and angry at the same time. We can use both words. And what happens is this is affecting the spiritual walk. It's affecting their marriage. It's affecting their work. It's affecting their rest at night because they're staying in a complete state of anger and anxiety. So let me talk to you about this. To understand what I'm about to say to you, you have to understand how you are created by the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now notice that's not H-O-L-Y like holy and sanctified, but it's holy. W-H uses a W there, which means total and complete, whole, to be made complete, body, soul, and spirit, and present you blameless before the Lord at his coming. So there's three parts. We call it the tripart of every person. If you're watching me, or from wherever you're watching me, you are a three-part being. You are a body. Now, when you're looking at Perry Stone on the YouTube channel or on television, you're seeing his physical body. Now, when you hear me speak, I'm speaking both out of my soul and my spirit. Now, your soul is connected to, excuse me, your intellect, your will, your emotions, and it is even connected with your five senses. And we can get into the brain and the mind and the soul and so on. But in the Old Testament, the word for soul is nephesh, and nephesh is a word that means the life force of the body. So the soul, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the soul is connected to the blood and also to the mind. And so then we have the spirit. Now, the spirit is not complicated because I call it your eternal twin. First of all, your body is not eternal. Your body will return to the dust, but your spirit is eternal, which means that it came directly from God. It was breathed into your mother's womb at your conception by God himself, and the spirit is eternal. It will not die. It will either be in eternity, it will either be in hell or it will be in heaven. There's only two places you can go. There's not 3, 4, 5, and 6. And there is no such thing biblically as reincarnation. That's a whole nother religious idea that's not found anywhere in the scripture. So you're a body and you're a soul and a spirit. Now I'm going to go to a book, a scripture in Daniel chapter 7, verse, I think it's around verse 15. It'll come on the screen. And Daniel saw an angel with this revelation. And actually, this vision, and this vision completely stunned him. It completely shocked him. So after he experienced this vision, he then describes what he was feeling after he encountered this vision. And here's the scripture on the screen. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, notice he talks about his spirit, his body, and his head. Now, actually, this could be spirit, body, and soul, because the soul is connected to the mind and the brain and the intellect. So Daniel has an experience. It's a spiritual experience. It's a very troubling, really unusual vision, a prophetic, we would call it a prophetic or apocalyptic vision that sometimes, or most of the time in the book of Daniel or Revelation, these visions have strange symbolism in it. And you know about that if you've heard us teach. But notice what he says, my spirit was grieved. Now, I'm a word study person. In Aramaic, because this portion of Daniel was written in Aramaic, this word grieved is to be heavy or to be vexed. So his spirit in the midst of his body, he's telling you that his spirit is dwelling in his body. That's biblical. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs that searches all of the inward parts of the belly. So his spirit inside of his body is really, really heavy with this. And then he says his head, which is his mind, is troubling him. He's troubled in his mind. And of course, that word in the Aramaic is anxious or to terrify. So in other words, he's frightened, he's anxious, and he's heavy. Now, this describes for me how many people are feeling at the time of the end, with everything that's going on. I mean, you know, the past couple months, you know, or actually years or months, you know, they've talked about, you know, the devaluation of the dollar, then doing away with currency, going cashless, then going to a Fed coin. Then they've talked about wars in Taiwan, wars in Ukraine, wars in possibly involving Japan, wars involving the Middle East. I mean, wars and rumors of wars is what the Bible talks about. So because of this, because of famines, because of destruction, because of so many things taking place, we are in a point where people's spirits are heavy, and what they're getting in their mind or what's coming through their mind is making them very anxious and even terrifying them. So I want to give you an end time revelation of the Apostle Paul and break this down. 1 Thessalonians is the very first letter or epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. It's the very first one. In other words, your New Testament is not in order. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, they were not the first ones written. They were just placed in that order. So in that chapter, or I'm sorry, in that book, there are five chapters, and there's about 13, if you count Hebrews, 14 books that Paul wrote. But in 1 Thessalonians, in those five chapters, the coming of the Lord is alluded to five different places in those passages. Now, as he's talking about the coming of the Lord, and he's talking about the gathering, how that we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, by the time he gets the letter, and the letter is copied and spread out to all the churches, in between that time and the time he wrote a second letter, someone, and we don't know who this person actually was because Paul doesn't give you the indication of who it was, forged a false letter and signed Paul's name to it, to tell the church that they had missed the return of the Lord and the resurrection had already taken place. Of course, there was a resurrection of those who had died under the old covenant at Christ's resurrection. So somebody may have been alluding to that particular resurrection, but that is not the one that Paul was revealing to the church that was going to happen at the rapture or the return of the Lord. So what happened was this: the church is troubled. They're very upset. I mean, the rumor is spreading in the church. The Lord has come. We've missed it. We've missed the resurrection. Total confusion is breaking out in that church at Thessaloniki, or Thessalonica, as we say it in English. And so Paul has to write a second letter, which is 2 Thessalonians. So in chapter 2, he begins to correct the false information. Now, this will come again up on the screen. And I believe it's 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 2. But here's what it says. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together, and we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us. And there you go. As if it's from us. It wasn't from Paul. It was a forgery. As though the day of Christ had come. Now let's break this down, because this is an important verse that you need to understand on the subject of why are Christians so angry and so mad. First of all, it says, don't be shaken in mind. Now that Greek word shaken in mind, shaken there in the Greek means to waver, to rock, or to rock something till you cause it to topple. So he's saying there, do not be unstable in your thinking. Number two, don't let this fake letter trouble you. The Greek word troubled there is clamoring that brings distress. It actually can, the root can mean to wail out or to cry out. So he's saying there, don't allow your spirit and mind to be distressed and to begin to be grieved, crying out from the inside that you've missed the return because it's not taking place. Now, there's three ways that your spirit gets troubled. I thought about titling this message something like, I'm troubled in my spirit, but that wouldn't have been a fair title because we're talking about something different here. Number one, troubled by spirit is what you feel on the inside of you. So certain things anger you, make you angry, make you upset. And so your spirit becomes troubled on the inside. And once it becomes troubled, it becomes restless and heavy. Now your spirit can also be burdened. And burdens, according to scripture, spiritual burdens come from the Lord. And you can have a burden that is a man-made burden. You can have a burden that is a weight that Satan puts on you, which is oppression and depression. But you can also have a burden of the Lord, because when the prophets of the Old Testament would see the sins of the people, they would become heavy and burdened in their spirit. And one prophet said, the burden of the Lord came unto me because he saw the sins and it was grieving his spirit. So it's normal for a Christian to have a grieving in their heart and in their spirit when they see things that are contrary to the Bible and the terrible things happening that are so destructive to not only the nations, but to individuals. Now, the story of Lot, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, tells us that the men of Sodom, in Lot's day were so wicked or so vile that Lot, 2 Peter 2, 7, became vexed with the filthy conversation of the men of Sodom, and seeing and hearing their unrighteous deeds vexed his soul day from day. And I've pointed this out many times, that there's two Greek words in 2 Peter 2 and 7 for the word vexed. And one basically means to be very heavy and troubled. But the second word, when he saw what they were doing, he saw their sins. And you know what the sins were, because you can tell by the name of the city what the sins were. He became tormented in his mind. Now, Lot, though, did not, start cursing and become angry and try to take on people because of it, but he became grieved in his spirit. It is normal for a Christian to become grieved in their spirit and have righteous indignation toward things that are sin and iniquities and abominations. Let me make that clear. But to attack people in the body of Christ because you're belligerent, and to attack them and become angry because of rumors you've heard and into windows that people have said, that is absolutely the wrong spirit. In the body of Christ, the body of Christ has to take care of its own business within the body of Christ. And even when King Saul was slain in battle, David could have said, yippee-yay-yay, I'm the new king, I get the crown, I've been praying for 13 years for this guy to die. You know what he did? He created a lamentation, which is a funeral song, and he was so grieved in his spirit that Saul would die. He said, do not publish it in Gath. The Gath was the land of the Philistines, which were Israel's enemies. He said, don't publish it in Gath, lest the enemies of God rejoice. Now, think about that. Now, most people today, if they hear something negative about a church or ministry, they want to publish it on the internet, publish it on Facebook. But that is not what David did. David had a covenant. He understood covenant. And he said, I do not want the people of this world to rejoice over what has happened to a king that one time had the anointing. And that's why I believe God was so merciful to David in his problems, is because he was so merciful to Saul, who was really a backslidden king. But at the same time, he understood covenant. So here we have the body of Christ. And now, and not everybody's doing this, but too many are, that they will get on their Facebook page and create a thumbnail, or they'll get on a YouTube channel or whatever the case may be. And they want to try to get people, they're trying to get viewers, they're trying to build up their subscriptions. And so they attack. I saw one of them. I wouldn't watch this guy's YouTube channel if my life depended on it. But he had a picture of 50 preachers, and all of them were wrong. And, you know, he had like a million views because everybody wanted to see what he's going to say. First of all, he's not a preacher, he's not a specialist, and he's not even anointed. So why would people of God want to go listen to somebody of that character? You need discernment, folks, before you start getting involved with people that don't even know what they're talking about, but are giving their opinions, or they're watchdogs for the kingdom. And I'm going to get really firm on this, because I'm going to tell you why a lot of you are grieved. All right. Now, number two, Paul said, or by word. So what people are saying can encourage or depress you. What the TV news is saying. I used to keep the news channel on all day long at my office. I did. And I was watching for breaking news, and I'm writing books because I can do five things at once. And when I stopped listening to the news every day, guess what? My spirit felt better. My heart felt uplifted. I could feel more of the presence of God. Positive news never makes the news. You need to understand that only negative news makes headlines, and then they'll put what's called a hook. They do it in newspapers. They do it in magazines. They do it, you know, breaking news, ding, and they've got some hook to make you watch. And sometimes the content is not even about what you're watching. It's just to draw you in. But my point is that people, when you hear what people say, when you read what is being said, it'll make you bitter and defile you if you're not careful. Okay? And so I'm trying to tell you why some of you are staying upset and anxiety and angry all the time. It's because of your what you're putting in you every single day. I know people, and I'm not critical of this because I know some people can't work physically, but there are people who could work that do not work, and their entire day, and I'm not kidding, is spent about 6 to 8 hours a day on the internet and every blog and everything. And they stay angry, they stay upset, they stay belligerent every day of their life. And the reason they do is they are putting bad seed or junk in their spirit, and it's defiling their spirit. They're bitter, their spirit's defiled, and they are defiling others. Oh, my Lord, wake up and think about this. So you're wanting to know why you're angry all the time. It's what you're putting in you. Let me tell you something. I have many ministry friends for 46 years that have had articles about them put in the newspaper. And I can tell you, in one place in Florida, one big paper, won't name it, they did over 100 articles. You know why? Because this was a very known couple in the town, and they were selling papers. And they found out that their attorney that was supposed to be defending them was actually in bed with the paper. And I won't go into details about that. So my point is, people would send me stuff. Oh, did you see this? And I'd read it. And I knew them personally. I knew the situation. And I knew that half of what they were writing was either completely false or about 50% false. But nobody else knew that. But if the paper said it, surely it's real. I mean, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Listen to me. I wanted to, and by the way, they did sue the paper and won some several lawsuits. But this troubling of your spirit and this anger is because of what you're putting in your spirit. Now, the Bible says this: whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are righteous, think on these. I had more to tell you, but I'm out of time. Guard your heart from bitterness, unforgiveness, jealousy, and envy. Gird up the loins of your mind. And what that means is stop letting your mind wander. Gird it up. Hold on to your mind and quit letting it wander all over the place. Focus. And number three, Ephesians chapter 4:23, be renewed in the spirit. And that's the attitude of your mind. And watch what garbage in, garbage out, faith in, faith out. Put good seed in your spirit, and manifest programs are good seed. So I'll be back in just a moment. I'm sorry I ran out of time, but I want you to be right in your heart, spirit, and mind. And that's why I wanted to teach this, share this with you. Be back in just a moment.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the three levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone. Thank you for watching the program. Now, this is the last week, this program you're watching is the last opportunity on the telecast to be able to get Journey into Eternity, our book, and also the brand new audio teaching that deals with the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. And these have been such a blessing. My aunt, we call her Aunt Janet, and she lives in West Virginia. She's 86 years of age, and she is my mother's sister, of course. But we saw her recently, and she just went on and on. She's had all of our books from the very beginning, our magazine, our books. And she said, Perry, that is one of the best books that you ever wrote. And I'm not giving myself any credit for that. I give the Holy Spirit the credit, because he's the one that shows you what to teach and what to write. And so if you just can get the book, please get that. And we're working on a lot of other resource material that we'll be telling you about in the days ahead. We want to remind you, main event registration is open for the month of October, so be sure and get in on our main event, granddaddy of all camp meetings in the fall. We're going to be coming to July 30th through August the 3rd, Trinity Chapel in Saldanha, Alaska, King's Chapel in Wasilla, Alaska, Sunday through Wednesday, August the 6th through the 9th, Family Faith Church, Willis, Texas, August the 18th and 19th, and that's a Friday and Saturday. You need to come out and join me. You folks in Texas, you better get down there. Sunday all day at Family Faith Church in Huntsville, Texas. Then the Great Christ Temple Meeting, Friday, both services Saturday, all day Sunday, Huntington, West Virginia. If you can be with us at least one service, please come and do that. And then we're going to go September the 10th to Gateway Church, which is hosted by Pastor Nick McSpadden in Russellville, Alabama. So join me there. Oak Grove Church, which is in Oak Grove, Arkansas. They have a great camp meeting there. I'm going to do the service on Wednesday, September the 20th. So all you folks down there in the Branson area, in Arkansas area, come and join me. And then we are coming to California. Haven't been there in years, but we're coming to California at the Morris Sorrento Legacy Center Feast of Tabernacles Celebration. One service, Thursday, September the 28th, and you can contact them for that information as well. And so perrystone.org has our itinerary. It has our online bookstore. For you that are partners of a ministry, please check the partner website and the partner site, where every month we give you update information. Don't forget that three times a week we post on the Perry Stone YouTube channel. We also every morning post on Perry Stone. Just go look us up. That's what I'm saying. God bless you. I'll see you next week.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.